How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Joe Johnson works the left side, into the lane, jump stops, now just underhand scoop and score.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 14th of July. The new timeout rules, an interesting fine on Dabo Sefolosa, and the Summer League evaluation of Mitchell, Ballenboy, Bradley, and others, all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're doing well. Really glad to have you aboard the program, and looking forward to bringing you another edition of Locked On Jazz. Locked On Jazz is now available for you on the David Locke YouTube channel. It's now available for you on Spotify, and you can tell Alexa. Yeah, that's right. You can tell Alexa to follow you to play Locked On Jazz. And actually, Alexa just responded when I said that. I have Alexa. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. You've got to see Murdoch Hyundai in July. Celebrate 1.99% financing. You may never see a better rate. 1.99% financing. You actually get to keep all the factory rebates. So Murdoch Hyundai has done this by partnering with Golden West Credit Union on this amazing offer. All new and used. So even better than getting the best price and the best rate out there, they're also donating to cystic fibrosis because that's who the Murdoch family really is. So here, let me see if I can make this little sense out of this. As you know, I've been driving, hopefully as you know, I've been driving a Hyundai by Murdoch, or Hyundai by Hyundai, but with Murdoch here for a little while. I'm currently driving the Tucson. The Santa Fe I had before was just terrific. So impressed with all the features you get for the price. And right now you can get $6,000 off a 2017 Tucson all-wheel drive SE or a 2017 Santa Fe Sport all-wheel drive now until July 24th. This, I'll tell you, I always said I'd never get my kid a new car, but with the new, my son's 14, so I don't have to do it yet, but with all the new safety features and then the reasonable price of both the Tucson and the Santa Fe, I may revisit that because I can get all these safety features and 5-star ratings on safety and have it at a reasonable price. It's changed my opinion, and driving the Hyundais have really changed my opinion about the quality of those cars. Remember, Hyundai Assurance has the 100,000-mile warranty, 10-year 100,000, and now until Pioneer Day, Murdoch Hyundai is giving you a 250,000-mile warranty. That's what the Murdoch family is all about, adding a little extra on top, giving you all these great deals. Come on, Murdoch Hyundai, Lyndon, Logan, and Murray. Get started at murdochhyundai.com. All right, let's get to it. Thanks very much for tuning in today. So the NBA made a pretty – I just got back from league meetings, and I've got a few takeaways from that to share with you. The NBA made a pretty dramatic change in the timeouts. So we're going from 18 timeouts per game per each team to 14 timeouts. The second thing is there have been five mandatory timeouts per half, two in the first, three in the second, two in the third, three in the fourth. That's going to be down to four. They'll happen at the under seven, first whistle under 7 minutes and first minute whistle under 3 minutes. So there'll be a better game flow. Secondarily, you will only be allowed to have two timeouts in the last 3 minutes of the game per team. What else? But what this really means to me is you only have one timeout, because you've got to save that last timeout to move the ball up half court if you're down one with 6 seconds left and need to move it up. I really think it's actually, this is pretty close to one timeout in the final 3 minutes. And then you'll see another one that's, if used, is going to be like in the final 30 seconds, just really kind of to move the ball forward. So this is going to really change gameplay late. What this means is a bunch of things. A better flow to the game, which I think means you're going to have better conditioned athletes. Smarter players, because there's going to be less coach involvement. And it's going to just be better for the game for you as a viewer and as someone in the arena. Like, it's just going to flow better. I know some people just think we should just kind of, after the mandatories, just make them play. Just because it's better for the game, right? The issue at hand is that we need to have a good game, not, you know, kind of blow up what we've previously thought. That's how I view the officiating, which wasn't actually talked about much this year, is it's just too hard to officiate right now. And so we should blow it up. This is pretty close to a blow up. I mean, they've blown this thing up. 20-second timeouts are gone. Now when you take something that's called a team timeout, it's a minute. The only timeouts that are full, what we used to do as full timeouts, are timeouts that are mandatory, and they actually will be a little longer because you still have to get the inventory in. Okay, so they'll actually, there won't be less. I don't think this will speed up the game. Maybe late it will. In fact, Adam Silver said that wasn't the intention. It's to improve the flow of the game and make it a better game for you to watch. And as I said, the on-court impact, better conditioned, smarter players, and I actually think the altitude for Utah and Denver will be a larger advantage. Second thing that was clear in the NBA meetings is that a lottery change is coming. That at some point here, a lottery change is coming into this this league, that they're not pleased with what's taking place, and it's got to change. I don't know to what extent. I think what they'll do is they'll flatten out the variance between what each spot does, so tanking is not as advantageous, and then I think they will open up more spots available to be put in the lottery. So right now only three teams can go. So if you're the worst team in the league, you kind of know you're going to be the fourth pick. But if they open that up to six and you're the worst team in the league, you could in theory drop all the way to seven. And I think that's what we're going to see, is that they flatten out the odds between places and they widen the amount of teams available to get a top pick. The third thing that was clear is there's seemingly little to no traction at all of changing the playoff format to the 16 best teams. They showed us the analytics that it's once a year or one team a year at most that's impacted. They showed us the analytics of how significant the travel would be. They're very fearful of the idea that you would end up with Miami playing Portland while the Clippers were playing the Lakers, and the burden on those two teams in the East to West series would then give them a competitive disadvantage in their next series against the Lakers and the Clippers, who didn't move, or you know, if it's Lakers Warriors or Clippers Warriors, who hardly traveled. So those are that was abundantly clear. So those are my three major takeaways from the NBA meetings, the timeouts, lottery change coming, no playoff format coming. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Subscribe on iTunes as well as your Android. Also now available at Spotify, on YouTube, and you can ask your Alexa to get you Locked On Jazz. Make sure you've also subscribed to Locked On NBA, the national show, and the national show Locked On NFL.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.
All right, let's go to Tabo Cephalosa. I was on the phone with David James, morning show host of 1280 The Zone, yesterday, and had a really interesting conversation that surprised me a little bit. We were talking about Cephalosa's shooting, and I he was saying to me, you know, if you look at his, this was a good pick, great pickup by David. He's like, there's just an unnatural dip in his year-to-year shooting. If you look, he's in Oklahoma City, and he shoots 44% from three. And then he, the next year, shoots 42% from three. And then all of a sudden, he dips to 32, which is like an incredible drop, a 10 percentage point drop in Oklahoma City. And then the next year, he goes to 32 again. And then it's 34 and 34. It's like, how, what happened to his game? And I started just kind of fiddling around, looking to see what I could find. And what I found out is he never shot well at Phillips Arena in Atlanta. So in his first year in Atlanta, he shot 11 percentage points better on the road than at home, 37% to 28. In 2016, he was about the same in each. And then last year, he shot 42% on the road and 26% at home. So over the last 3 years, Cephalosa has been a 38% three-point shooter on the road and a 29.8 three-point shooter at home. Now that to me is at least interesting, because of the fact that you just wonder, like, who is he? I'm a big believer. Nylon Calculus did a research project a few years back about 750 threes. Is there a number of threes you need from a player to then believe that the next 700, you know, like, so what you're really looking for is, let me see if I can explain this right. If someone takes 100 threes and is shooting 36%, is his next 100 going to be 36% also? If he takes 250 and shoots 36, is his next 250 going to be 36? The number Nylon Calculus figured out is you need 753 attempts to kind of know what his next sequence is going to be. And so Cephalosa was a 35% shooter after 750 threes in his career. That actually takes you right to where this break happens that I'm talking about, where he's taken 1,200 in his career. And what's strange is you go look at the last 3 years, and he's well below that. That shouldn't happen. Particularly if you think about the Nylon Calculus aspect of things. Once, in the last 3 years, he's a 33% three-point shooter. So I think it's fair to guess that he's going to move up to 35, probably not higher. I mean, if you take him from his early part of his career and look at his threes, you go through, you take it from the 2006-2007 season to the 2012-13 season, that's 779 threes. He shot 35.4%. That's who he is as a three-point shooter. That's what I think we should be fair to expect from Cephalosa in this upcoming year. I talked yesterday on the program really about Cephalosa, Jarebko, and Udo. If you missed it, the quick take on it is the Jazz have completed their roster so that they have 240 minutes, I think. Cephalosa's a 25-minute night guy. Jarebko's a 15-minute guy. Udo Will be interesting to see what he can do. He really had a great EuroLeague in playing in Turkey. And the next question is whether or not the game has actually evolved to his benefit. He's a pretty good passer. And that, I think, is going to be a valuable asset. Tony, let's Tony Bradley get going a little bit. Let's now move to give him time to develop. Let's move to the Summer League and get to Tony Bradley. And Donovan Mitchell, Joel Ballenboy, Nigel Williams-Goss, I think are the four that we cared about. Probably Eric Griffin. So quick breakdown of these guys. One, Tony Bradley did everything. So today's the Jazz final Summer League game, and I think the analysis is complete. Tony Bradley, to me, really did everything that I wanted to see out of him in Summer League. Summer League's a hard game on bigs. It does not yield, I think, for you to have, I don't think it's an environment that gives you a great feeling of things, but he did some really nice things. So, and what are those? One, I thought he used his body really, really well to seal at times. I thought he did a really, really nice job, around the rim, with his, offensive rebounding. He has just terrific hands, which I think we knew he was going to have, which we expected to see. I thought he showed a great understanding of the game with how to run the pick and roll. He has a tendency to want to pop, and you could see that they are working on him to be a roller, not a popper. He rolled well. He was a force at the rim, if rolling, for people to keep an eye on. I thought he did a very nice job altering his different defensive pick and roll standards. He was up a little bit more in the recent game. The game before that, he had dropped back a good deal. I think that's his natural pick and roll play. It's going to be a dropping big who's big and wide and high. And I saw every piece of development. Talking to the coaching staff, what they were most pleased with is his ability to take in information, use it, not making the same mistake in consecutive games. So really a lot of positive things, I think, out of Tony Bradley's 28th pick of a draft. He's 19 years old. It's not clear what his, there's no guarantee on him to being a great NBA player or even a rotation player. He's going to really have to develop and work his skills. I think we saw those skills. I think we saw his ability to work, and that's all you really are hoping for and what he can do to improve, but I think he could probably play a few minutes at a time coming up here next year for the Jazz, and I think it's a nice pickup. Donovan Mitchell was fabulous. I think the talk on Mitchell is pretty high level right now. People are pretty fired up, rightfully so. I thought Alex Jensen described him perfectly before we actually even got to the Summer League, when he said, we are seeing flashes of brilliance from him throughout practices and throughout, this was really in practice. And now the question is, how does the package come together? Those flashes of brilliance we continue to see, and I think there are more of them. Great dribble drive game, superb ability to finish at the rim, defensive force, and abundance of energy, a joy and a freedom in playing the game that we've got to make sure we don't lose somewhere along the way. We haven't seen a catch-and-shoot game out of him. I'd like to see more of that. A little nervous that every time he catches, he does put it on the deck first. So there's, when he's playing with better players, he's going to have to evolve a little bit. Those are important changes. I think we saw better passing out of him than we ever anticipated. That, to me, is a little bit of a surprise, how well he passed it, and lets me believe he can probably play the 1-2, and then really here's the thing. If he's a 2 in the league, I think he's Avery Bradley, which is terrific. I mean, Avery Bradley's really good. And that's when you start to look for six. And I, honestly, other people have given me this comp. I don't think that's, but when, he's a 6'2", 180 pound shooting guard is Avery Bradley. And when you try to find 6'2", 6'3", shooting guards. They're hard to come by. Bradley averaged 16 points last year, you know, six rebounds, two assists, and a steal. I mean, he's really was great. It's a big loss for the Celtics. And if he ever would be willing to take his physical in Detroit, Gordon Hayward might actually get to have a press conference in Boston, if you've noticed that press conference has yet to happen, because Bradley has yet to take the physical in Detroit, from what I understand. The next piece, so now if for some reason Donovan Mitchell can become a 1-2 type player, then you might have that next level star. I know a lot of people want to go to Dame and try to go there. That's a pretty big spot to go, but he has been terrific. I don't think he's averaging 19 points, 3 rebounds, and 7 assists as a rookie like Damian Lillard did, and playing 39 minutes. Partially because hopefully we're better than that. That Portland team, if I remember correctly, was not particularly good that year. But maybe it was because they had LaMarcus Aldridge. I'd have to think back on the 2012. I think they won about 33 games and lost 49. So I don't think that's great. I think they were still a step or two away of where they needed to go. So hopefully we're a little bit better than that. All right, Joel Bolamboy. Then let's get to Joel Bolamboy. That has not been great. Again, the summer league's not great for bigs. So that's the first thing. The only thing that concerned me on Bolamboy was how long it took him to make decisions when he got the ball. So the elite athleticism, the rebounding, the playing above the rim, those things were all still prevalent. When he's getting the ball, he doesn't look comfortable, and it's almost like he's frozen and has to make a lot of decisions. Now, I've made the next quantum leap that's the lack of basketball experience that's causing that. And that might not be fair. That might be he wasn't playing with players who knew where to be on the floor, and he didn't quite understand, you know, what the systems were because the other players didn't know him and he knew him better, and so they weren't where they're supposed to be. That there's a lot there that might be going on. The one area I did see kind of his lack of basketball experience is on the pick and roll. He often is hugging the ball instead of widening out his roll to create space. And it just shows me that some things are not instinctual on him. His shot obviously did not look comfortable in summer league from the 3-point range. And again, summer league's very hard on bigs, but I would not say that was a great stretch. That's probably not the jump that everybody had hoped on Bolamboy, but we have to remember that it wasn't going to be a one-year process. There's still a lot of work for him to do in this game. You know, I remember the quote from Dennis Lindsay about Bolamboy, in which he said, you know, if you think of it as a 10-mile run from, you know, junior high through to the NBA. I don't know if this was exactly the quote. Usually you get guys at mile 8 in the process, and we're probably getting Bolamboy at mile 4. Just because, you know, Weber State did a great job to take him probably from behind where he was to get there now, the next spot. So Bolamboy, I think, is still a few miles behind on his run, and we just have to patiently understand that. But I do think a lot of us had hoped for a little bit more of a jump, and maybe the Epe Udo signing is a sign that, you know, there's going to have to be some more development and feel of the game. Nigel Williams-Goss. The question coming in was athleticism, and that's why he went so late in the second round for a guy who understands the game great and feels the game great and does all those things, and I think that's probably still true. I think that's probably very much still true, is that his athleticism is going to be a difficult thing for him to overcome to get in to be a regular player in the league. And Eric Griffin is the opposite. Eric Griffin's athleticism was just exemplary and may have gotten himself in the league. He really played very, very well, fouling excessively. But you never know. He might be a two-way contract guy, depending on how you use two-way contracts. He showed some real skills and showed some athleticism that jumped off the screen and jumped out of the court that made you wonder if that could be an NBA player. That is today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for tuning in. Glad you grabbed the show today, and we'll talk with you again next week here on Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. Thanks to the guys over there. Visit MurdochHyundai.com. Say hi to Blake and the crew when you head on in and take advantage of their incredible deals right now with up to $6,000 off plus all the factory rebates and 1.99% financing. It is all at Murdoch Hyundai in Murray at 4646 South State Street in Logan and Linden as well. This has been Locked on Jazz, part of the Locked on Podcast Network.